beloved, the father of light, is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoyeth the Spirit.
You were singing just a hymn. He will say that you made a confession. I want to ask God for mercy. I want to ask God for help, that you will indeed, in practice, surrender all. It's easy to sing. It's a different ballgame to release it. There was a man that made a vow before God. And when it was time for him to pay, it was painful. Are you willing to surrender all? Talk to the Lord. Unto thee I freely give. Nobody's putting you under any pressure. If you really mean that song, ask the Lord to help you. That unto thee I give. Lord, help me to really live up to what I've said this morning, to surrender all. That will not just be a song for me. It will be an experience. I will be able to say at the end of everything that I've given all. That young man said to Jesus, I've obeyed all. From my youth, I've obeyed all. Will you be able to tell God on that day, I gave all. I gave my best. I gave all. I let nothing back. I gave all. God, help us to give all. I want to be able to give all. What about your time? What about your talents? What about your connections? What about the privileges? Have you given all? Lord, help us to be able to give all. Even this day we ask, help us. It's easy to talk. Talk is cheap. Very, very cheap. Help us. You know us. The Bible says Jesus Christ did not commit himself to man because he knew what was a man. He knew how unreliable men were. I don't want to be like that. Help me to be able to keep my promise. Even to give all this day. In the name of Jesus. Father, I commit this day to your care. I thank you for the privilege to come together as a church to serve you. For this holy convocation, that Lord, your presence will honor our meeting in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that your angels who are here will minister with me, even to the heirs of salvation, bringing the promises to pass, even the promises you've made to your children in the name of Jesus. Whatever any one of us may be going through, I ask that you step up, Lord, and intervene in our cases in Jesus' name. I ask on the platform of mercy. I ask on the platform of the fact that Jesus, our great high priest, stands and lives forever interceding for our needs, interceding for our situations, interceding for our salvation. I pray, Lord, that every one of us here will experience salvation in the name of Jesus. Some of us have need of healing in our emotions. Some of us need healing, Lord, in our minds, in our intellect. Some of us have healing, need healing in our bodies. I'm asking, Lord, that wherever we may have needs, arise, O God, and touch your people and bring joy to our hearts in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, Father. I trust you, Father, for opening of the word and opening an entrance of your word, that I bring this teaching, Holy Spirit, open it up to us in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning I don't know whether the time you've given me is going to be enough. You are going to likely need to add time because I'm teaching. And teaching may take me time. I'm not preaching this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know, but when I get there, when I need more time, I will ask for it. Is that okay? But I will not preach a very long, everlasting message. But this is a message that naturally should be properly taught so that we can be properly grounded. Hallelujah. I want to speak to us this morning about the sevenfold fellowship. The sevenfold fellowship. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to pick my thoughts from verse 18. The sevenfold fellowship. Most of us do not realize, and this is where our problem lies. Next week when we start, or week after, when we start talking about the feasts and the offerings in the Old Testament, there were certain things that only the Jew understands. There are feasts, festivals in Israel. They are not meant for people to be eating and dining. What you call what is this kind of feast we normally do? Love feast. It's a gentle thinking. In the Old Testament, they are called solemn assemblies. Praise God. They are called remembrance. You bring yourself to remembrance of the things God has done. It's solemn. There is a weight involved in it. But the Gentiles do not understand. And this is what Kennedy was saying. He said there is a problem with the Gentile church. It's called reference. People don't reference God. You don't fear God. And God will help us in the name of Jesus. I think these are just signs of immaturity. But we cannot continue to remain immature. We have to grow. And so Paul began to write to the church, to the Hebrew church, and was trying to admonish them and encourage them to stand. And he was telling them that, look, when we gather, there are seven things we gather unto. Praise God. Now, but when you look around the church, you see empty chairs, don't you? But are you aware that beyond what you are seeing, there are entities that are here? Or rather, if they are not here, you are there. What people of us don't know is that we are not technically here. Anytime you gather together, there's a transportation from here, there. But you have to begin to see it. People talk about the eye of faith. But faith is based on an understanding. Praise the Lord. You must have an understanding. And so, in your imagination, you must see yourself in the presence of God. Amen. And it reflects in our prayers. Say, Lord, we welcome you here. You don't welcome God here. It is you welcome yourself in his presence. What did David say? He said, I will come into his presence. He didn't say, God, come and meet us here. He doesn't come and meet us here. Even though he said, where two or three gather together, I will be there in their midst. But technically, you are the one going there. Hallelujah. You appear in that realm. And that's why your heart must be properly set to meet with God. You don't just come carelessly. But is it not Brother Blessed that is here? Who else is in church? Is it not Bro Bayo? What are they doing there? They look at the way they are even singing. It doesn't work like that. It shows that you do not understand what you have come to. Amen. Now look at what Paul began to write. He said, for you have not come to the mount that doeth what? That can be touched. So we are not dealing with something in the physical realm. Praise God. We are not dealing with the physical. If you continue to see such gatherings as a physical gathering, you have missed the whole point of Christianity. It's not a physical gathering. So you have not come to a mount that can be touched like they came to in the Old Testament. I will go back to Exodus 19 and show what they came to when they had that solemn assembly. Praise God. He said, but, and that burneth or burnt with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Verse 19. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. You begin to see the problem of that testament. They could not endure it. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Now, destruction was to Moses, to make sure that if anyone caught that mandate, you should stone him or kill him. But I don't think anybody was going to carry out that assignment, because they themselves were, they were scared stiff. Moses said he was going up the mountain, and Moses' leg was shaking. He had never seen God like that before in his life. That was an encounter that Moses would never forget. May God give you encounters you will not forget. You need it. We all need it. Because they are memorials. I was telling the Bible study unit yesterday that there's a particular place after Ogbese that every time I pass that place, I remember what God did. Do you have such memorials? Things that you can remember, God did this. I know that it was God. You need such encounters. Verse 21. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I, Moses, the great. I gave that title to Moses. I, Moses, the great. The fearless Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quick. So whatever it was that appeared on that mountain that day was scary enough to have made a man like Moses to be afraid. Praise God. He had been talking with God. He had been working with God. He had seen great signs and wonders. He had handled powers. But that day, God appeared in a different form. That format was not easy. And that's contrasted it. That's a but. You know, when you say but, it means but. Sure, you understand? When you hear but, but means what? But. Hallelujah. But, unlike they that came to a man that can be touched, what they touched was horrible. What they touched was terrible. What they touched was scary. Say, but for you and I, it's not like that. And maybe that is why people don't fear God anymore. Maybe if God comes down like that, maybe our understanding of God will shift. But he has chosen not to appear like that. Does not mean that he's still not like that. Because in the last verse, in verse 29, he said, our God is still what? A consuming fire. Many people don't know this. They don't understand that. They think that God is not a God of love. He's the same God who is the God of love, is also still this consuming fire. Praise God. But you have come to what? Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Verse 23, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. 25. It now says, see, because of this sevenfold fellowship, for this reason, see that ye refuse not him that doeth speaketh. Remember, how did it start Hebrews, the book of Hebrews? Eh? God in sundry times. What was he doing? He was speaking. He was speaking. He now said, see that you refuse not him that doeth speaketh. So every time God begins to speak, you must be careful to pay attention. I was asking the believers class teachers yesterday, I said, why was it that God, after giving instruction, he would say, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. They said, for emphasis' sake. I said, yes, for emphasis, but more than that. It was a grave warning of who they were relating with. Praise God. And we shall see that. I'll say a little of that. That you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not, who refuse him that spake on earth? Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Who spoke on earth? Was it Moses? No. It was God who came down on earth and began to speak. But that is not speaking from that realm again. He has shifted operation to the heavens and is speaking from that realm. Praise God. Who in sudden time spoke to the Father through the prophets, you know, and what else? But now in this last day, he's speaking through the Son. He says, if you refuse that spoken that, how much shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Verse 26. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may do what? They remain. Verse 28. Wherefore, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us do what? Have grace. Whereby we may serve God acceptably. With what? With what? With what? With reverence and fear. People say that it is true, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but there's a fear that God must bless you with. If you don't have that as a blessing, go and ask God, bless me. You need him to bless you. There was a young man, Solomon by name. After he has made all the sacrifices, God had said, what do you want me to give? He said, God, I want wisdom. God was happy with that. But there is something that, see, if you look at the menorah, there are three arms of the menorah, but there was one central piece. He said that menorah speaks about the seven spirits of God. Hallelujah. If you read the Isaiah 11, is it Isaiah 11 or 9? 11. You will find them, spirit of wisdom and understanding. They were in pairs, but only one stood alone. The spirit of the fear of God. If God does not bless you with fear, you are not blessed. Every other blessing they may give you will kill you. But when God blesses with fear, reverence and fear, you will know how to tread the course of God carefully. Praise God. Say, but God is a God of love. I didn't say God is not a God of love. Amen. Is there a way you can relate? It's a middle ground. Where you know the person you are relating with is a God of love, but you also know that there's a way you must serve him. If it's going to be acceptable, it must be by what? With reverence and fear. So if he's going to go, which one are you giving me? Give me verse 29. The reason is for all this, for our God is a consuming fire. You will not be consumed in Jesus' name. The Bible told us that we have not come to the mount that can be burnt. We have not come there. So let us look at the people we will come and meet. The first meeting is Mount Zion. So you have come to what? To Mount Zion. You have come to Mount Zion. It now describes Mount Zion. It says, is the city of the living God. And it is also called the heavenly Jerusalem. Look at the descriptions. City of the living God. Heavenly Jerusalem and Mount Zion. Do you remember Psalm, is it 49? That song, that popular song we used to sing. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion, site of the northern city of the great king. It's Mount Zion, site of the northern city of the great king. Somebody said, why is it always the north? In every nation of the world, the north controls the nations. I don't know why. America is not America controlling America. Every time South America controls America, and America is always in chaos. In Nigeria, is it not controlling us? It's not my own theory. It's not in the Bible. I'm only saying my own. Praise God. Zion is a place of joy. It's the place where God dwells. Amen. And that is actually our hope. That is where you are going. But you must become conversant with Zion. You must know what takes place in Zion. You must know the protocols of Zion. That is the dwelling place. So God, Jesus warned them. Said, don't swear by the holy city. Said, that's where God dwells. Don't swear by his throne. You don't swear by it. They will not hold you guiltless. So there are certain operations in the earth that you must be careful about. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 10. This is what was propelling certain people on earth. This was what made them do what they did. Because there was something they were gunning for. I want to ask you, what are you gunning for? What is your hope? What is your expectation? What is your ambition? What is your drive? He says, for Abraham, look for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. There is no such city on earth. Amen. Continue verse 11. You now see where I'm going. At this time, it's not going to be enough for me. To 16. Through faith, Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because he judged him faithful who had promised. 12. Therefore sprung there evil of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they do what? Seek a country. And truthfully, if they had been mindful of this, of that country from wherein they came out. Now, you will not understand this scripture. It means that if they were occupied with the cities from where they came out, they might have had opportunity. It's not that they might have. They actually were given opportunities time and time and time over again. Praise God. If their desire was the city from where they came out from, then God would have God would have allowed them to go back. But the Bible now said in the next verse, look at next verse. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. What is your own desire? The truth is that many of you are not even thinking about it. That's the truth. It's not even coming to your mind. It's only when somebody dies that we sing the song. Yes. Did you hear that there is Odu? Yeah. Yeah, the Bible speaks about a river that flows from the throne, where the nations will drink from. And there are trees that bear fruit every month, Abby, that the nations will eat. Praise God. But say, when there are guys seated with Jesus in the throne room, you are not going there. It is, you are still wanting to stay outside and be drinking and be a mama gist. The way you were gisting after church, you want to go there. You are not even, you don't understand what you are doing. You are still a Gentile. Praise God. Praise God. These men desired a better country. And that explains why Abraham did not go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. That explained why they stayed away and they were living in tents, because they were seeking a better country. Listen to me. Don't for one season think that when those guys were alive, there were no good things on earth. There is nothing we are doing today that the ancient people did not do. Even I can tell you, nobody up to today has built a structure like that of Solomon. Nobody has done it. There's what they call one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the hanging gardens. Solomon did that one. They are still trying to unravel it. How were they able to do it? I and Pastor were talking. Did you know about the No. About the pyramids of Egypt. What do you think was the pyramids of Egypt all about? Well, I used to think they were burying places for the pharaohs. But they got there and found that there was no pharaoh buried in the pyramids. And they were asking themselves, what there was the purpose of the pyramids? Only for them to discover that it was actually for creating electricity. So ancient Egypt had electricity. So tell me, what is wrong with you? What makes you think you were better? They have discovered things that look like computer. They found it. Archaeological findings. They cannot unravel. How are they able to do it? So there's nothing big deal about what you and I enjoy. They enjoyed it too. Big buildings, transportation. Maybe they didn't have cars. Praise God. And AC. But I was watching a documentary in Australia. People have houses inside the ground. Inside the ground. 20 feet. They dug it. And they have houses, living room, beautifully furnished. Maybe if I go to Australia, I will go and check into one of those hotels. Praise God. What has man not done? But the Bible says they were looking for a better country. So what is your desire? It's only Christians that say, I want to go to heaven, but when it's the time to die, they don't want to die. It tells you they have no hope. I don't know whether you understand me. You have not sat down to convince yourself. You have not sat down to even study what do they call this heavenly Jerusalem. It was for this heavenly Jerusalem that men abandoned their present life here to pursue it. Hallelujah. And because of that, here God's testimony. Now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly. Wherefore, for this reason, not for any other reason, for this reason, because they desire this heavenly Jerusalem, whose designer and builder is God, because they desire what God was building, for that, God was not ashamed to be called their God. It doesn't matter what you think about them. They may not have been packaged in the way you and I would have loved them to be packaged. Are you with me? You know, there were people like that, the Bible spoke about those who were destitutes, who walked in caves. If you look at them, you will not want to identify yourself with them. That this guy is weary. He's a weary. I don't serve God that is God of weary. You know, that kind of thing. But the Bible said God was not ashamed to tell the angels and the fallen angels that these guys are my people. He was not ashamed to boast for just one reason. They loved... Okay, I'm having a problem with your theme. Praise God. I want to come forward. Can I be coming forward? Praise God. Thank you. He was not ashamed to be called their God. There was another person God was not ashamed to be called his God to them. You know, Job. God was happy to boast that I know Job. It's my guy. Can they boast of you? It's a question you and I need to ask ourselves. Can God make his boast? And for that reason, he had prepared for them what? A city. Praise God. Revelation 3:12. I'm surely not going to work with this time, this morning, brother. Just shut down your time. Revelation 3:12. This is a promise that he has made. Say, he that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I write upon him my new name. This is just because you have dared to forget the challenges of this life. And you are focusing on that city whose designer and builder is God. Say, for that reason, I will write your name. You'll be a partaker of that new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 12, verse 2. 21, verse 2. And John said, I, John, saw the holy city. So it was not something Jesus was just promising, and there was nothing. Jesus had having spoken about the promise, he showed John that this is what I'm talking about. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God. Out of where?
Heaven.
He's already prepared. It's not that they are... See, when people talk to me and say, we are going to heaven. Or when you read that place, Jesus Christ said, I'm going to heaven to build you, to prepare a place. You think Jesus is doing... what's that company? Jesus Beja. He's going there, they're buying blocks. Somebody said that everything you are doing here, you'll be transferring money to everybody to purchase blocks for you. I don't know where they got that from. Praise God. For everything you do, there are promises for that. It's not about the building. The building is already prepared. God has already built it. It's coming out from God. And if you look at the dimensions of the New Jerusalem, you will find that it's bigger than the present earth. Far, far, almost 3 times the size of this earth. And I don't know if you have tried to trek from here to Lagos before, to have an idea of how big the earth is. Okay, you have not trekked. Have you traveled from here to Maiduguri before? Have you tried it? You will discover it will take you 2 days on the road. And that's just Nigeria. And in case you don't know, Nigeria is not as big as Texas in the U.S. Nigeria, do Nigeria, but it's big too. My friend told me one day that he used to drive 2 hours to church. 2 hours! That's the time I said to go to Akumba. No, don't go to Akumba. Don't go to the church. It's like you said, there's service in Akumba. And you expect me to carry my car and walk and go there. In this era of 5 minutes walk, I look for 5 minutes walk church. Amen. You know, I say why that is not helping people's faith. It's not helping people. Well, it's just 2 hours of good road. If it's bad road like our own, you use 5 hours. Glory to God. Four or five lanes express. TIN race, go. And you're driving 2 hours. With new car, with good car, not new car. Good TIN rubber car. Not this, our own. Now, like I was coming this morning, I pressed, I said, the car just... I have to close. But a new car will do that, by God's grace. Amen. Lord, let me buy a new car too. Before I go to the Rebel of Jerusalem. Amen. Do you follow what I'm saying here? So you now have to appreciate the fact that, you know, if the New Jerusalem is 3 times the size of this present earth, you can imagine, you can just begin to imagine the enormity of what God has put inside the thing. You can understand, you can begin to have an idea of how He will govern it. I have no clue yet, but I'm studying it. So go and study it more. So that you will not get to the point you want to die and start biting finger. Lord, let me stay. I'm going. You should not be uncertain. You should be too sure. I'm going to a better place. And I've had the opportunity of listening to people's testimonies. Those who went and came back. They used prayer to call them back. By force, by fire. Jesus, we must return this way. He must rise up. Hours they were praying. And when they came back and opened their eyes, the first thing they always do is, why did you bring me back? They said, what am I doing here? What is here? This dust. We are killing ourselves over it. And you are calling, you know, you just use mouth, just spoil like that. Because they've got it to a place, they've seen what God, and what they've seen is not the New Jerusalem. It's not New Jerusalem. They've not seen the present heavens and the present earth. The present heavens that God dwells is going to destroy it. That was what they saw, that they are coming back and they are doing anger with us. What am I doing here? So if that thing that they are, where they are now presently, is not is that good? Yet God says it's not good enough for him to dwell. Then just imagine what they call pleasure. They have not seen pleasure. Imagine you having pleasure. No, let me give you this illustration. Have you been tickled before? No, nah. Have you gone through it? You know, that thing can become a torture if it goes beyond the level. I watched a film. I don't know what I told about the film. Of one person, it was Vietnamese something. They captured it. They wanted information. He said, I will not talk. I'm not going to divulge any information. Those American soldiers just laid him on a stretch of this table, striped him down, and took a feather. I began to tickle his leg. The guy said, I will talk. Talk. Because if he doesn't talk, his thing will kill him. Joy in Appa. So joy can kill you. Amen. But can you imagine you getting to your elastic limit and you see another level and you move to the another level, crescendo. You get to that crescendo, you say that there can be no more level of joy. God takes it to another level. And can you imagine going through that for eternity and you are not expiring? It's the opposite in hell. They take a person through a level of torture. He dies and they reconstitute him again and bring him back. And they do like that for eternity. It's horrible. May we not see it in Jesus' name. My second point. Innumerable company of angels. Can you give me the Message translation of that Hebrews 12? I want to look at that verse. Innumerable. Is it Message or any other one? Are you there? Hebrews 12. Give me verse 18. Is it 18? No. 22. Okay. 22. Okay. Myriads of angels in festive gathering. You have come into a company of angels. Tens of thousands. This one says innumerable. They can't number the angels. And they are in festive possession. There is a joy around them. Those are the people you have come into fellowship with. Praise God. These angels, remember in chapter 2 or 3, spoke about these angels who Paul said that they are sent to minister to those who should do what? Inherit salvation. Their joy is to serve God to make sure you inherit salvation. Their joy is to be around you. Their joy is to behold your order. Their joy is to help you. They have this joy. But the problem with us is that we are unaware that they are present. You are unaware that they are around. And because you are not conscious of their presence, there is very little you can get from them. Hallelujah. These are living beings. And I told us before, angels are in graves. But the Bible says all of them together are in festive possession. They don't come before God and they are frowning. You have to be happy. Praise God. You have to be joyful. The Bible says the presence of the Lord, there's what? There's fullness of joy. Upon his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you know who is seated upon the right hand of God in majesty? You know who is seated on the right hand of God in majesty? It's Jesus. So he's the epitome of pleasures. Praise God. The next verse, 23. I don't want to dwell on angels this morning. Let me just rush. It says, to the general assembly. Everybody say general assembly. There's a general assembly. And it further describes that general assembly. And the church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn. Which are written in heaven. Look, can you see the description? There's a general assembly, also known as the church of the firstborn, who are written in heaven. Remember when these disciples of Jesus came back one day? I said, Jesus, when you sent us out, we did not know what we were going to do. But we saw some very strange things. Some demons were jumping on people. They were misbehaving. In fact, we had the story of this demon, that this demon was terrible. No, he has always terrorized that region. I just kept to myself, we come against you in the name of Jesus Christ, our master. And we said, in the name of Jesus, the guy just jumped out. Ah, we did not know that demons can be subject to us. And they were rejoicing. And listen, I tell you this. From my experience, when you have been casting out devils, there's a pride that comes with it. You become proud. You become invincible. You become fearless. That what can Satan bring? Our Lancaster devils. Hallelujah. Amen. And just like I said, don't rejoice that demons or the spirits are subject to you. So rather rejoice that your names are written. It's so serious that it is those whose names are written that can enter. Your name has to be written. Amen. You don't understand. It means you are enrolled as a citizen and entitled to the privileges of citizenship. There are three, let me look at three concepts there. Number one is a general assembly. Every time people gather to God, it's an assembly that gathers. Praise God. It's called the church of the firstborn. The concept of firstborn is in the Old Testament. God said to Pharaoh, Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my firstborn go. That was what killed Pharaoh. That was what broke the camel's back. He said, because you have held back my firstborn, I will kill your firstborn. Amen. So, technically, the church is God's firstborn. And what betide you to fight his firstborn? Because the people who tried it in the Old Testament did not live to tell the story. So the church is the firstborn. And so you and I must begin to understand why certain things should not be done. Praise God. Amen. I don't get involved with controversies on Facebook. So when it relates to the church. Because we must be careful. Because it's his church and his people. Every trespass and every transgression will receive a just recompense of reward. God does not play with his firstborn. He doesn't play with his firstborn. Hallelujah. Now, should I let error go unchallenged? I need to challenge error. We all need to challenge error. And bring correction. But you must be careful the way you go about it. You see, God is an interesting person. God was going to punish Israel. He brought the Assyrians to punish Israel. Read into the story in Isaiah and Jeremiah. They came and they punished Israel. They showed no mercy. God said, I told you to come and punish Israel. I didn't tell you to come and do it the way you did it. Because you did it, I will come back and punish you. Do you understand me? You don't understand. It's like a parent saying, please let me beat my child. If he misbehaves, you now beat the child. That's it. You beat my child. Did I tell you to beat my child? Why is that so? It's the concept of the firstborn. God does not play with his children. Hallelujah. So be careful the way you approach the matter. Amen. You must be very, very careful. You must be careful. The firstborn. And their names are written in heaven. It was so serious that Moses, when he was going to get God to forgive Israel, he said, God, if you will not forgive Israel, blot my name from the book you have written. Now you ask yourself, or should ask yourself, why is God writing? Why is he writing down names? Does he know everything about everybody? It's called records. Praise God. It's called what? Records. He keeps records. God is meticulous. The book, Angels on Assignment. The angels, they took him in the spirit and took him into the archives, the library of God. And there he saw, the thing is, you can't see it. Just far. Every record of every human being is there that has ever lived. And they asked him, said, pick a record of anybody, anybody. Just think about it. And he was like, who will I check? Okay. I've always been, you know, inquisitive about Abraham. Said, Abraham. And the record came out. And they opened it. So I said, they scanned the whole information in that book into his mind. I said, wait a minute. The lie that Abraham told is not in this record. And God said, I don't write the mistakes of my sins. I've forgotten it. It's not there. That's why when you come to warfare and the enemy is talking, they bring records. Is this true? If they get there, if the blood has not washed it, it will appear there. That's why sins must be confessed, so that the blood can wash it. So when they stand and start accusing you, and they bring the records, now it's in God's memory, he knows you did it, but it goes by the records. I say, is it there? The advocate said, my Lord, there are no records. I saw it, but God, you know. God said, I'm sorry, I'm just jumping for nothing. It's no record. Please, next case, your case is matter is dismissed. Praise the Lord. It's records. Is your name written in the book? You must do whatever it takes to make sure they don't cancel that name. Hallelujah. That name is written at the point you gave your life to Jesus. The moment you give your life, your name is written. You have given your life. Now, this is the funny thing people do not understand. From the day you were born and up to the point you gave your life to Christ, your records are cleared and wiped away. That's why I say you are a new creature. There's no record against you. Now, the problem is that in your mind, you remember that you were a jugunu. You were a bad boy. But in heaven, there's no record. You are just a newborn baby. But from that point, till the day you take your breath, remember what he told that woman, go and sin no more. Because as you begin to sin, they will be added to your record. But to keep that record clean, you need the blood. Praise God. So by the time you are crossing over to the other side, and then he said, you will not go to heaven. They will ask him, is there anything in the record against you? They say, there is nothing. They say, Satan, before we close our eyes, clear road. Am I communicating? He has nothing against you. Praise God. Be careful about your name. Don't throw it away. Remember whose son or daughter you are. Always remember it. Always understand that that name in that book is very crucial to everything. Don't let it be wiped out. Praise the Lord. And to God, remember, there is the city of the living God. Amen. It's the city of the living God. Now, when they now introduce us to the God that lives in that city, they did not introduce him as God of the whole earth. What they introduce him as? The judge of all. Many of us do not understand that God is many things to many people at different times. It can be to you today, Father. It can be the Lord of hosts. If you when you are going through the Bible, pay attention to the titles used of God. They are usually tied to a revelation of something he's doing. Praise God. But in this instance, they didn't introduce him as the Father. They introduced him as the judge of all. Why so? Hallelujah. Let me say one or two things. The destiny of all depends on him. And therefore, you must be careful not to provoke his wrath. The destiny of all. What they are communicating that every living being will face the judge. That is where he dwells. You have come to meet him. He judges. And so if you are meeting a person who is a judge, you must be careful how you come. Very careful. Because his Lord, Moses, is he that sits on the throne, that his eye is the window out of evil. He searches it, and he can discern it, and he can pick it. That's why you don't approach God without the blood. Because we approach it without the blood, he sees this, immediately he's responding. You don't understand. See, there are certain things that people do. People just think that Satan is the one attacking us. There are certain things that Satan does not do. It is God himself that responds. And I tell people, if Satan catch you, you have hope. You can cry. But if God catch you, who will you cry to? You cry to God himself. May God, you move me, have mercy. But by the way, God, you can't do anything, no? You can't do anything. You'll be surprised that he can do more than that. He will have mercy in Jesus' name. He's the judge of all. He's a judge. You have come to a judge. Did he not say that he's the one that casts down? He's the one that does what? He's the one from whom promotion comments. Hallelujah. So when you are come this morning, maybe that's more reason why you should come with reference and fear. Because you are coming to a judge. People do not know that, praise God, when God is seated on his throne, on the throne, he is a judge. It's a different thing when you approach him and he's relating with you as a father. But the day he turns his side and becomes a judge, you should be sensitive that God has changed. He's not a judge. Most of the petitions we make, there's nowhere you must understand that they can only be granted as a judge. Remember the parable, the story of that that unrighteous judge that woman came to. Said she came to a judge, to the judge, said, avenge me of my adversary. He came to a judge. Said, how much more will your father not avenge those who cry to him day and night? God will help us. Will help us open up the dimension of prayers. Many of us will approach God and the Father and we say, Father, avenge me. Your father is not an avenger. Your father is looking for how to save him. But when you approach the judge will change and take judgment. I don't really understand what I'm trying to say. You must understand the protocols of the court of heaven. God will help us. My time is going. And to the spirits, not one, spirits of just men made perfect. There are people in heaven that have been made perfect. What is the meaning of perfect in the Bible? Perfect means those who have come of age, those who are full grown, those who are matured, who can discern between good and evil, those who have learned and they've handled things that are great, praise God. But they are found in heaven. Find them in heaven. Glory to God. Now, we can interpret this in different ways. Is it that when people die, they become perfect? I don't know. I don't know. But the Bible, there are spirits of just men made perfect. Who is a just person from the biblical perspective? Galatians 4, 1 to 3. Hallelujah. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. If you look at where John was talking to people, there were three sets of people John was talking to. He was talking to their children, then talk to young men, then talk to who? The fathers. There's a growth involved. The people he was referring to, probably he was referring to the saints that have died, those Abraham, those patriarchs, and all those people, their spirits are there. And those are people you are relating with. Those are mature men. They have handled things. They are dealing with spirits of fathers. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And, you know, and when you begin to look at all these people who have died, all these people who are in heaven, you do know that every time we read them, we are interacting with them. We are fellowshipping with them. Praise the Lord. These are clouds of witnesses that are, you know, that they are before us. They are testimonies before us. Amen. Now, there's a temperature that says they are awesome. All of them are looking at us and seeing how we are behaving. I don't know whether there is a time when they come and check us and say, how are you guys doing there? You are not running well, look. We are seeing you. I don't think that's their job. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And I don't think he has given them that assignment. So therefore, I think therefore that the issue is that their testimonies are there as a cloud of witnesses testifying to us. And we have fellowship with their spirits. It's not their souls, their spirits. Amen. Do you know that if you take your time and study the book of the prophets, before you know it, you start speaking like the prophets. The spirit of the prophets will rest on you. If you spend time with Paul, chances that you become a teacher. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. If you spend time with Solomon, you will likely be wise and not be a fool. Amen. You can read Paul a lot and be a very lazy man. You'll be following revelation around the whole place. You need Solomon to balance you. Praise God. Do you understand me? If you are the type that is a lot that to do the will of God, go and read Jonah. That God knows how to deal with. I'm going to release the info. Oh God. They are all weaknesses and they are surrounding us. And we have to learn and watch them. They have matured. God put their stories there for us to build us up. Hallelujah. So we should not remain under tutelage, in bondage to the elements of this world. Those elements are the things we learn culturally. You were culturally raised. God put them there. But for how long will you be governed by these elements of the world? Let the fathers teach you how to serve God acceptably. They are the spirits of the just men made perfect. Amen. What's the next one? Go back. Next verse 24. I'm rounding up. And to Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament. Hebrews 8. 6 to 13. Oh, Father, thank you. He says, but now have you obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. We are still handling the promises of the Old Testament. People say, I'm not under the Old Testament. I'm under the New Testament. Okay, what promises are you quoting? Old Testament promises. That means you are an hypocrite. If you're not under that covenant, how are you now quoting the promises of that covenant? Do you follow me? That covenant had promises that if God can bless me with that promises, I am okay. Can we look at the promises? Say, you shall be heard. And not here. Do you want to be here or not here? You know it's Old Testament promise. It's predicated on you obeying that testament. Praise God. You said you will, I can't remember all of them. There are many. Eh? You will do what? Oh, say, God bless you. I shall not die, but live. To declare the praises of God. Amen. Old Testament promise you. He now said, but this testament is built upon what? Better promises. I want to ask, what are those promises that can be better than I shall not die but live?
If my enemy come against me one way, he will flee before me seven ways. Which one? Give me a better promise that is better than those. I shall not afflict you with the sicknesses of Egypt. Is that not a promise? It's a promise. But tell me which promise is in the New Testament that is better than that. You are looking at me because you don't know. Nobody has taught you. So you are looking at me like that. Yet, Bible cannot be lying. Are you with me? Whatever it was that Jesus, as an high priest, has given to us under this new covenant, the Bible says is better than what they had in the Old Testament. So it's up to you and I to go and search out what were those promises. But I can remember one. He said, because I live, you shall live also. So if I'm living, or if he's living and I'm living, the issue of sickness is not an issue. I don't know whether I understand what I'm trying to say. We can begin to talk about that. Maybe that is research for next preaching. Praise God. Am I making sense with soon now? Where are we? Are you back there? For if the first covenant had been faultless, there should no place have been sought for the second. Verse 8. For finding fault with them, it was them that had the problem, not the covenant. He said, behold, those days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and not according to the covenant that I made with the fathers in the day when I took them by hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind. Mind? Mind? Is that what it says? You agree, he says that. So we agree that the problem was the mind. And write them in their hearts. And I'll be to them a God. And they shall be to me a people. Verse 11. And they shall not teach any man his neighbor. Are you seeing the work of the mediator? That is the work of the high priest, the mediator of that testament, or rather of this testament. His job is to teach it. His job is to make sure that you do it. Are you with me? His job is to protect the integrity of that covenant. His job is to act between God and man and make sure that God keeps his promises and make sure that you obey the commandments. Do you understand? You now know why he has to be the spirit of grace. To help you to obey God and compel God to give you the promises he has made. I don't know why you understand me. That's why he's both God and man. That's why that's the mediator you have come to. That's the one the Bible speaks of in Hebrews 3. It calls him our great high priest, the high priest of our profession, the apostle of our faith, who was tempted the way you and I have been tempted, yet he did not sin. Therefore, is able to succor them that are so tempted. That means there is no temptation that can enter that he cannot help you through. So that's why none of us has any excuse. Say, Jesus, if you see this temptation that the Satan brought, So by then, you know, me a shock when I survived, Jesus. Say, me was special temptation. Because there is no temptation that has befallen you that is not common to all men. Who makes the way of escape? The mediator. That's the person you have come to. And every time you come, have it at the back of your mind that person is interested in helping you. And to the blood of the sprinkling. Remember, it did not say the blood that is pleaded. No, many of us say, I plead the blood. Thank God it used to work. It works. If you have done deliverance before, you are signing for someone that wants to deliver. When you start singing that song, the person just starts shaking. You don't start dancing, break dance. Thank God that God just overlooks our ignorance. If he was to go by the strict rule, that thing will not work. Because there's nowhere in the world that they plead blood. It's called the blood of the sprinkling. And he now compared that blood to Abel. Now, what was the blood of Abel doing? What did he do? He was crying for vengeance. So what was this blood doing? This blood is crying for mercy. But the Bible warned. It said, be careful. Don't handle the blood anyhow. Don't say those who have turned their back have done. How the Bible says they've done despite. They've disregarded the blood. And said they would die without mercy. Those who have handled the great word of God, they've seen the powers of the ages to come. They've done great things and they turned their back. They said they have disgraced. They have disregarded the blood. Now, if you don't understand the Old Testament, you won't understand what Paul was writing in Hebrews. We have read it this morning that the life, or rather for atonement, is inside blood. So if you disregard that blood, there is no basis for atonement. You are exposed to the full wrath of God. So you come to him with the blood. Mentally, these are things that you must hold in your mind when you are coming. You cannot afford. This is not inspiration. You must know them. That is, see, yesterday we were talking about, I'm closing now. Praise God. I think your hallelujah should be more than that. If you want me to close on time. I said, praise the Lord. The hallelujah shows that you want me to continue. Okay, I will. Praise God. Some people are not smiling. Like that, Lola is not smiling. Amen. Where was I? I said something yesterday. What did I say yesterday? What were we discussing? I forgot what we discussed yesterday. Is it offering? Is it back being? Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I didn't talk vengeance. I left that place. Oh, why do you make me remember? Believer's class. It was believer's class. Bro, Pastor Dele, you were there. What did I say yesterday? Amen. All right. I must punish me, suppose ye. Shall he that brought that thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. God will help us. Yes, I remember what I was going to say. You cannot be a priest in that testament, under that testament, if you are not knowledgeable. You must remember every detail of how to present an offering. Do you hear what I said? Every detail. You must know how to present a sin offering. You must know how to present a thanksgiving offering. You must know how to present which of those offerings again. They are not the same. If you make a mistake, like you forget in classroom, like Pastor said to Bro Paul, said, I've marked your exam already. Praise God. You don't know why. I will tell you. Once they mark you, they will just kill you gently. Fast. Because you have done despite. You have fumbled. And if he says we are priests and kings, you people don't understand what it means to be a priest. You must have knowledge. You must memorize details. You must be given to details. Praise God. And the other thing we found, that you must not be a lazy person. You can't be lazy. Imagine from 6 a.m., you wake up with sacrifice. You kill sacrifice throughout the whole day. You are smelling blood. How many of you have killed Malu before? Goat. During wedding. You were there when they were killing Malu. When they were roasting the cow. You have been there before. Can you imagine having to do 1,000 a day? When you go to sleep, you'll be dreaming cow. When you wake up, and you are going to do that for the rest of your life. What? I will look for another job. Oh no, more. I can't do it. A shift. But when it's time for you to return to work, this job, I'm going back again. So you cannot afford to just be a lazy man. I say I want to be a priest. Isn't it that I'm the priest, we're the priest of God. Hallelujah. Let's not talk about priesthood. Well, say the convention theme is priesthood. People, praise God. I just shake my head. These guys don't have an idea what it is to be a priest. They put the load of a nation on your head and they say if they perish, you're in trouble. Ha. You must know what you are into. You must engage God mentally. It's not just emotions. You must engage Him mentally. You must engage Him consciously. You must know what you are doing. You don't just come anyhow. Empty. Your mind is empty. You can't come with an empty mind. Praise God. You are coming to church. Now let me digress. You are coming to church. I'm finishing. Many of you do have change. You want to, Bible says we should make up your mind what you want to give. That's fair, right? But you have made up your mind, you are only giving 50 naira, which is not good. Praise God. And you have 1,000 naira note, and you are coming to church and say, Michelle, it shows you are not serious. You are not serious. You are approaching God nonchalantly. You have come with a transaction. You are buying and selling. If you are conscious of what you are doing, you would have gotten your change ready. You should not be asking ushers, bring change. Ushers, this is the law of the house today. If anybody drops offering, no change. Yes, next time you prepare. Amen. No, you prepare. If you need, you want to drop 15 and you have 1,000 naira, go and break it. Break it outside and come and drop what you want to drop. No, there's no mercy. This is proper. Look, I want to give Akechi as much as I don't like Akechi. He's doing bad. I said, Pastor, I have only 1,000. Please, can you give me change? Does it make sense? No. So how much more the God of the whole earth? Let us look at it now. So if I be a father, where's my honor? Engage God properly and intelligently. That's what I'm telling you. Stop coming to church and be asking for change. It's not part of my message. It was God that is catching some of you here this morning. And if you don't have, don't be ashamed to stand up and say, Lord, I don't have. Bless me. Next week I will have. Praise God. If it's 10 naira you have, and that's all you have, God, don't be afraid. I know some people are looking at you, they were showing you, 10 naira, let me help you. Oh, yeah, I'll be like, no. Father, we just thank you. Has that happened to you before? That's why you squeeze the money. You don't want them to see it. Please, I beg you, stop squeezing money. May the Lord strengthen your heart. The priest, the prophet said, my face was like flint. That's Jeremiah. You must have a flinty face. I did you a bowl. Lord, I tell you, I'm dropping. If you like, if a person is dropping 10 naira and you are not happy, bring 1,000 and give it. But that's what tomorrow, your God will serve. I go by 1,000. My disgrace alone. If you are not happy, praise God. If you cannot help, keep your face your front. So what I'm trying to say is that don't squeeze. Don't feel one kind. If that's what you have, give it. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Be cheerful. Lord, I thank you. This is what I have. This is what I can afford. I'm giving it. Be joyful. Do you have a balanced understanding now? Not that if you bring 15 naira, God will not take it. He will take it. But if you are like me and you are bringing 15 naira, you bring out your wallet. And kill our one rich man Cornis. Now check it. They must not see this 1,000 naira. 500. God, I can't give God. I think I can give God this 100 naira. And this 100 naira, you can see this 100 naira.
It has gone through Nigeria.
God have mercy. Glory to God. Just imagine that God is like a kitty. If I'm going to give him something, it must be something that makes sense. If princess gives Akiti 5 naira, Akiti will appreciate it. But I can't give Akiti 5 naira. He won't take it. It's an insult. I don't know whether you understand me. So I think you have understanding. Father, we thank you. Let's give thanks to God. And I appreciate the Lord. We bless you, Father. Thank you for this morning. The sevenfold fellowship is what we have come to. It says we have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. Can you thank God for that hope that is before us? That is the place he has prepared for us. The Bible says those who have gone before us, that was what they were looking for. They were looking for a city whose builder, whose architect is God. We have come to that living Jerusalem. We have come to the company of just men made perfect. The church of the firstborn. All of us are members of the church. We are members of the ecclesia. He will not take the ecclesia for granted anymore. Some of us have been doing that. But we can't continue. We have come into the company of angels. Are you conversant? Do you know that there are angels in this place? There are angels. Every time we come into a solemn assembly, angels gather together. That's why the Bible says, let every man or woman have authority over our head because of the angels. Angels are present in every gathering. You don't misbehave. You don't behave anyhow because of those angels. Those angels have been sent to bless you. They've been sent to help you. And when you begin to misbehave in the house of God, in doing that solemn assembly, you cut yourself off from the assistance. So let us just thank the Lord. We talk about the General Assembly, the Church of the Firstborn. You are the firstborn of God. We talk about God the Judge. You are careful and you are mindful of who you have come to. You have come to the spirits of just men made perfect. We have come to Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament. He's the one who is rectifying, has rectified the covenant. There's a covenant you are working upon. You must be conscious of the covenant that brought you here. Every time you gather, you must be conscious of the covenant. And who is the one mediating the covenant? I must be conversant of the blood of the sprinkling. That blood you cannot afford to take for granted. It's the blood that rectified the New Testament. It's the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel. It's the blood that answers the enemy at the gates. It's the blood that cries for mercy instead of asking for judgment. It's the blood. You will not take the blood in vain. It's for atonement. Father, we thank you. Lord, I commit our subsequent meetings into your hands. There are things we've taken for granted, things that we are unaware of. I'm praying and asking that you'll have mercy upon us. And from this day, Lord, you will help us to mentally engage. Anytime we come to church, anytime we come to a solemn assembly, well, Lord, we will come with reverence and fear in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus Christ's name we prayed. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings, School of Diocesis, every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.